Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
This show is always all over the place, but I really do want to say thank you to everyone who's phoned in so far tonight, because, I mean, it's been... We talk about clunky gear changes, but, I mean, I've... I don't know where... We've been all over the shop, and I like it that way. So if you want to give me a shout, 0344 499 1000. We've got Maureen, we've got Ollie, we've got Nigel. Let's go Maureen, because I think you've been waiting the longest. Hello, Maureen.
Hello, Kath. How are you?
I'm all right, thanks. Thanks for hanging on.
That's fine. I like listening to you. I listen to you. I don't phone up you and Ian, but I phoned you up last year when you was doing the show by yourself and you had an American lady with you.
Oh, yes.
And somebody rang up to ask if he was allowed to sing.
Yes.
And he sang, and then you got people to ring in if we liked him singing. And I rang in because I did.
Bless you, Maureen.
And you said I should ring in because I said he was good and I'm a celebrity. But I listen to you, but I don't phone. But right. The reason I'm phoning...
Go on.
...is because... it's three things, really. One, when you was talking to Nigel the other night and he said... He had a friend called Brian Gunn.
Oh, yeah.
And you looked it up and said, is he a Scottish footballer? Well, he was. He was a goalkeeper for Norwich City.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he did play for Scotland. I know he's Scottish. And then last night you made me cry when you read that lady that adopted the little baby.
Oh, I know. Wasn't that beautiful?
I know. It's really good. And do you know what? That's what I call a good news story.
Yeah.
So if you do any more, say... This is my good news story for tonight.
All right, good shout, Maureen.
No, it was good, and you're really good. And what I'm going to talk, I don't know if you like football. Do you like football?
Not really, but go on. I like hearing people talk about stuff they like.
I used to play football.
You did?
Yeah.
Brilliant.
I started playing football when I was 3, but I went blind when I was, coming up to 25.
Right.
And but I follow football, and I'll be a football correspondent on another radio station.
Have you?
But I'm promoting women's football.
Good.
Because England women won the bronze medal in the 2015 World Cup in Canada, and we never got that far before. And we're actually in the World Cup in June,
right?
And we've got 4 friendlies. It's called On the Road to France, because that's where the World Cup's held this year. And we played Canada tonight and we lost 1-0. But we did beat them in the quarterfinals in 2015 in the World Cup, and it was played in Canada. So we have beat them before. So it's only a friendly, so it don't matter. And we've got another friendly on Tuesday. We're playing Spain. But women's football has, from next season, has going to have a sponsor.
Oh, right.
For the first time. And it's Barclays, who used to sponsor the men's football.
Yep.
And they're sponsoring them for 3 years. So the prize money is going to get £500,000. But they've also gone into schools where boys get football put on the curriculum.
Yep.
The girls are going to have it put on so they can play. More girls will play football.
Here's the thing. My 7-year-old has decided she doesn't want to do dancing after school next term. She wants to do football.
Now, I'll tell you what. Let her do football The women get paid. I mean, a lot of English players now, there's Tony Duggan used to play for Liverpool. Then Man City got a team in 2014, so she joined Man City. Because she was being substitute all the time, she got fed up with it. She plays in Barcelona now.
She
plays for Barcelona. And Lucy Bronze played for Manchester City. She left there. plays for Lyon, who's won the Women's Champions League 3 years in a row, like Real Madrid, the men have. And because of that, Man City played them in the semi-final last year, and it was her that scored the goal against their old club and got them into the final. But the funny thing is, Chelsea women, we're called women now, we used to be called Chelsea ladies, they've changed it.
Yeah.
They are in the Champions League in 2 weeks' time. They've got to the semi-final. We got knocked out in the semi-final last year against Wolfsburg. I thought, oh, God, we're playing them again. But we're not. We're playing Lyon, but that's worse because they've won the Champions League 3 years in a row and we've got to play them in 2 weeks' time in the semi-final. But Chelsea need to actually win it because we haven't qualified for next season because Arsenal and Manchester City have. But it's really good. I love women's football. I was listening to it on telly, but it's really good. I love football. I've played it since I was three and I just found a football medal. Well, I've had it ages, but I found it what I won when I could see. So it's really good. I love women's football, but it is good. But when I played, it didn't get on the telly and radio like it does now. But we had the Euros in 2017 in Holland or Netherlands, and we didn't win. We got to the semi final, but the Netherlands beat us 3-0. But I was in America at the time. But my brother-in-law taped them all for me so I could listen to them when I came home.
Mm-hmm.
So it was good. And we beat France, but we beat them twice. But we beat them twice, but we've never beaten them. The first time we beat them, and that's the first time we beat them in 43 years, France. People don't think women's football's been going that long, but it has.
Yeah.
Because it was started in the First World War. When the men went to war, they set up football teams. And I think it was 1921, the women had a game at Everton's ground, Goodison Park, and there were 73,000 people watching them. And because of that, the FA banned women for playing football on pitches owned by the FA. And that ban was in place for 50 years.
Blimey. Why? Because we're going to mess it up with our high heels.
No, I don't wear those. They wear lovely shirts. I mean, England just, I don't know. I think we was wearing all white tonight and Canada was wearing all red. But it is good. But I mean, Tony Duggan plays for Barcelona. He said on the television tonight, she played against Atletico Madrid.
Yeah.
And they had 60,000 people watching them.
Blimey.
And they had, I think the biggest crowd we've had over here was for the Women's FA Cup final last season, which Chelsea won. We won the league as well.
Right.
And it's played at Wembley now. It wasn't before, but this is the fourth. Well, this year will be the fifth year it's played at Wembley. But they had 45,000 fans watching them at Wembley. And that's the highest thing. I forgot how many. I think they said tonight for watching England was, I think they said there was over 5,000 people there.
Blimey.
So it's good. So women's football is popular. And to get it on the telly and radio, which is good. Because when I played, it's all promoted. Have you heard of Wilfried Zaha that plays for Crystal Palace?
I haven't, no.
Zaha,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, he plays for Crystal Palace. And because the women have gone professional now, and they all had to apply for licences, so there used to be 10 teams in Women's Super League 1 and 10 teams in Women's Super League 2.
Right.
But now there's 11. But some of the teams that was in their leagues haven't even been given a licence. Like the second tier now is called the Championship, like the men.
Yeah.
And Doncaster Bells won that when it was Women's Super League 2. But they haven't even been given a licence. So they're one of the oldest clubs.
I mean, this is all fascinating stuff, Maureen. I want you to just tell me whether it's worth making sure that this seven-year-old of mine becomes a fantastic women's footballer
because she's
going to keep me forever.
Be professional. Tell them, where do you live? You need to sign for Chelsea. You need to live for... Anyway is good because West Ham and Chelsea women are in the FA Cup semi-final.
Right.
So, no, you should let her play football because they can go... I mean, Eddie Aluko used to play for Chelsea. She plays for Juventus now, but it's back. I want her at Chelsea.
Brilliant.
And she's lost her England career because of a silly man.
Right.
That was a manager before. Do you know who's the England manager now?
Who's that?
Phil Neville.
I did know that, actually, yeah.
Yeah, he and we actually won a tournament. We came third in the 2015 World Cup, and we just played in America. It's only a four-team tournament. It's called the She Believes Cup. And last year it was America, England, France and Germany. And this year it was America, because it's held in America. It's America, England, Brazil and Japan.
Right.
And we beat Brazil 2-1.
Okay.
We drew 2-2 with America, but we beat Japan 3-0. So we won the She Believes Cup.
Wow, okay.
It's called the World Cup, so we can go. And Japan are in our group in the World Cup.
Yep.
And Scotland, but they've never been to a World Cup before.
Oh, right, okay. Well, that's a bit like the men's team, isn't it? I don't know.
Oh, yeah, but you should. You watch on telly. You should watch the women and go, boy, are you England Lionesses. That's what they're called.
Yeah.
England Lionesses. So we've got the men in the Nations League semi-final.
Right.
And we're qualifying for the 2020 Euros. We've won our first two games. But because we're in the semi-final of the Nations League, because they set that up because everyone was fed up with friendly, so they started this Nations League.
Mm-hmm.
And we won the group because we could have got relegated if we lost.
Okay.
But we won it. So in June, we're playing the Netherlands in the semi-final. And if we get to the final, and the other semi-final is between Portugal and Switzerland. So if we get to the final and win, we're going to win a trophy. That's the first trophy we've won since 1966, the senior England team.
Hooray! Right, I've got to go, Maureen. But
Catherine. I think you're very good.
Thank you. I mean, she rings once a year, but she gets the whole year's conversation in, doesn't she? 0344 499 1000. I'm just going to have a little rest.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Oh 344 499 1000. This is Talk Radio. I am Catherine Boyle, and you could be on the radio in the next hour. We've got Ollie, we've got Simon. Where are you? 0344 499 1000. Hey, Ollie.
Hi, Catherine.
I'm so sorry to keep you waiting. You've been on there for what, nearly an hour?
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate your persistence.
That's okay. How are you?
I'm all right. What you got?
You were talking about Amsterdam the other day.
Oh, yeah.
I've been to Amsterdam and I went to the red light district.
Oh, Ollie.
I went with my wife.
Okay, whatever floats your boat.
Well, we had an argument the whole trip. We didn't go for the red light district, believe it or not.
Okay, you tell yourself that.
Yeah. But it was like, was it ethical or not to go? And I was like, sure, it is ethical. And she was like, that it's definitely not ethical to go. And I kind of dragged her along because I wanted to see what it was all about, because I've heard about it. I wasn't to like pervert people.
No, and you weren't going to make a transaction or anything.
No.
Here's the thing. When I was younger, I had a lot of fixed ideas about things I knew nothing about. Yeah. Now I'm older, I actually know sex workers. I know a couple of sex workers. And yeah. And everyone's situation is different. Yeah. But I also know that they're not all victims.
Yeah.
And in a lot of cases, sex work is work, right? So if the women are not being exploited, and I would suggest that the more visible you are, the more difficult it is to do that, then what's the problem?
Yeah, because like I was like, well, look at all the, like, I looked it up and I said, look at these sex workers saying, hey, they're okay with it and that it's actually empowering them or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But she had read this book where somebody was actually like sex trafficked
right.
from England to Amsterdam. So it kind of got a bit wobbly about yeah. what was, and I think it's just, that's how it is, isn't it? Like, you're going to get people that are affected in a negative way no matter what.
Yeah.
But that's...
But that's kind of why you need regulation, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. But if they're not getting enough or not, I don't know.
I don't know really enough about the system in Amsterdam, but I was under the impression that it was properly regulated and these places were checked and the women's welfare was looked after. But I'm sure that, you know, beyond the red light district, there'll be women who are not as safe and maybe not in that situation.
Yeah. It was a weird experience, though, because it was like this, like a zoo almost, because it was like seeing women like half naked through a glass.
Yeah.
And like,
I imagine it's like Babe Station after about 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and just like, but just, you were just like, because it wasn't just in that street. Sometimes they're just like peppered all over the city.
Oh, really?
So I would just like look at the nice architecture, and then there's an old lady with her boobs out, like hanging out the window.
What, the boobs were out, hanging out the window, or the old lady was?
Both.
Advertising.
Yeah.
You haven't got a poster. You use what you've got.
Yeah. So it's a weird place.
Yeah.
We went to like the sex museum. And that was even more strange because you're going around in a very cramped room with like in a crowd looking at like 70s porno.
Oh, is that what there is in there? I just imagined it was like knobs, knobs, knobs.
Yeah, it was. All I can remember was like antique porn, then like 70s porn, and then saying what each genre was of porn.
Right. Okay. So it goes ankles.
Yeah.
Oh, naturel, let's just say.
And then extreme kink, like golden shower stuff.
And well, I don't know, like, if that's extreme kink out anymore, because there are people that do worse than that, aren't there?
I don't know.
I'm not saying that I do. I'm just saying nothing shocks me anymore. It's that whole thing of, if you can imagine it, someone gets off on it. There are people. Yeah. There are people who would love a sniff of my shoe. I've had offers, Ollie, for pairs of my pants. I mean, God, if they're very, very unlucky, I'll send them. They'll know about it.
Yeah, you'll probably send the millions.
They'll get. Oh yeah, it'll be delivered by a postie in a hazmat suit. But you know, women do it for various reasons, right? And some of it is survival, and I think if a woman's in a desperate situation, they don't make great choices. But if there is a woman who is making the decision and they are safe, I think it's going to happen anyway. I'd rather they were safe, and therefore I'd rather they were known about, and therefore I would rather they didn't have to hide it, you know, and put themselves at extreme risk.
Definitely. I was a bit...
And that goes for men as well. Of course, there are the male escorts too.
Yeah, well, exactly. That's what I was thinking. Like, maybe it was going to be, like, all diverse and there would be different, like, genders and stuff. Mm-hmm. But it was just women with boobs.
It was just general... You were in the boob department. There was no other... There was no gun show.
No.
Oh, maybe there is. You just don't know where it is. It's just kept under wraps.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I don't know what the history is and what what's okay and what's not okay.
Let's have a look. Let's have a look, because this is something. This is research, okay? In the name of research, let's have a look. So Amsterdam. That idea, though, that they're going to restrict the tours to stop the tourists going down there, it's not going to happen. Mm. The tourists will just go down there by themselves. And I do tend to think that if the pros are saying that they would rather the tours carried on, then you should listen to them. Right, let's have a look. Red light. History.
Yeah, because I wouldn't mind have gone on to tour, just the, like the history of it.
Yeah.
But,
of course, from an educational point of view.
Yeah. But like, it is definitely the most crowded place, I think. I don't know if it's just because the alleyways are so small.
That's also because we're all big kids, you know, prurient.
Yeah.
Here we go. Short history of the Red Light District. Prostitution in Amsterdam is nearly as old as the city itself. As early as the 15th century and possibly earlier, you can bet earlier. The first prostitutes arrived to earn a living in the harbour of Amsterdam. The Red Light District is still located in the oldest part of the city. The women initially plied their trade in the streets. In the 60s, the police made it illegal to solicit from doorways. Sitting behind the window was tolerated if the curtains were almost closed. By burning a red light behind the gap in the curtains, it was clear to men that they could come here for a prostitute. Today it's allowed to keep the curtains open, but the red lights are still used. As a result, the evening hours are the best time to visit. The Red Light District then comes to life and clearly shows where its name originated. Code of conduct. Yeah, code of conduct. Walking through the Red Light District is safe. Countless police officers patrol the area to keep an eye on things. Even so, as in all crowded locations in big cities, there are pickpockets. Keep a close eye on your personal belongings. Taking pictures. Yeah, I imagine. Taking pictures of the women doing their job is not appreciated. We strongly recommend against it. If traders accost you on the street to offer bicycles or drugs, I mean, only in Amsterdam. Bicycles or drugs, it's better to refuse. Such goods are nearly always illegal or stolen. If caught, the police imposes high fines on both the seller and the buyer. I mean, imagine getting done for hiring a bicycle on the street.
They were like banning the booze bikes.
I've seen those.
Yeah, because apparently they were causing mischief. Like loads of people going on booze bikes.
Well, I imagine. Oh, I mean,
yeah.
Can you imagine? Falling off the back of those. Are those ones where you face each other and you kind of get...
And they all pedal.
Yeah, like you're all sitting at the bar.
Yeah, it was weird.
I mean, it looks like a terrible idea. It looks like a good idea when you're sober and a terrible idea when you're not.
Yeah, I had a weed burger, but it didn't have weed in it. It was weird.
A weed burger?
Yeah.
So...
But apparently it didn't have weed in it.
Apparently, how did you know?
Because I didn't get high.
Maybe you're super weed man.
I didn't go for the generic, oh, let's go to Amsterdam for weed or boobs. I went for I went to the Van Gogh Museum, mm-hmm. and I wanted to go into the Anne Frank House, but I couldn't because I didn't book in time.
Oh, right, you have to book to go in, do you?
Yeah.
It's not very big, though, I imagine.
No, it was fully booked completely.
Is it a good place to go, though, or is it just...
It's really nice.
I've got people tweeting saying that, what place, men go there for only one reason.
The Van Gogh Museum.
Yes, they go there to see paintings. You're bang to rights.
It's like really pretty and like really nice architects, like awesome architecture.
Yeah.
We went on like the canal, on like a canal tour. I always go on like boat tours when I go on holiday. And it's nice for that. It's nice for just like the culture of it. But yeah, I didn't do any drugs or sex.
No, it's a bit like when I went to Vegas. I didn't really do any gambling. I just like walking around. But I was done within about 3 days, to be honest, with Vegas. I imagine Amsterdam's a bit like that, you know, or could you stay there for 2 weeks?
Oh, yeah. No, I stayed there, like, just a weekend.
Yeah, it's a mini break, is it?
Yeah, and we stayed on, like, a little canal boat, like a Airbnb canal boat thing.
Oh, that sounds good.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was really cool. Yeah, it's a really nice sea, definitely.
Thanks very much, Judith Chalmers.
Better than Paris.
Oh, God. I haven't been to Paris for years. You know I've got a bit of a thing about it.
Yeah, now I have too. I got pickpocketed.
Oh, man, no.
While I was listening to a podcast, they took it while I was listening to it.
So,
and I was like, why is my podcast stopped? And I looked down, it was because I don't have a phone anymore.
That is an outrage. Where did that happen?
I was 5 seconds away from coming home. I was like around the corner from Eurostar. and it just went. And then I had to report it while I was there.
I would like to say that I'm not surprised.
And
I'm not surprised.
I turned around. I was like, where's my phone? Give me my phone.
So you've been dodgepots. I don't think you look particularly touristy.
Totally. We had all our bags.
All right. Yeah. You look particularly touristy. Right. Okay. They knew what you were doing.
I was like, I want justice. I called the police. And the police were like, we cannot help you.
No. I don't give a toss.
No.
My experience with the gendarme was they just did not give a monkeys. Did I ever tell you about the story? I had a friend who lived, he used to find his way home by navigating via the lights of the Eiffel Tower. Did I tell you about this guy? Andrew.
No.
So funny. And we didn't get drunk very much there, not in bars, because it was so expensive. But I must admit that, you know, we did have a lot of parties. And on one time after a party, he decided that he would take his usual route and, you know, looking for the lighthouse. And he's halfway home and they turned the lights off. So he decided to bed down in the street like an idiot.
Oh, no.
Right? And was awoken a couple of hours later with a group of gendarmes kicking him.
Oh, no. Yeah. I can imagine.
Yeah, they were less than gentle. And in my experience, some of them were quite creepy. But I think that I'm hoping things might have changed in Paris since then. But I've not been back since.
I've got a grudge now, so I'm going to say bad things about Paris.
I know, but it's so beautiful. I was so in love with that place from being a little kid. We're talking earlier on about my youngest going away at the age of 10. I did the French exchange when I was about 12. And for the next few summers that followed, I would save up and I'd go to Paris on my own. My dad, mum and dad would put me on a plane.
Oh, wow.
I would get a, what do they call it, a chaperone to get me on the plane and meet me at the other side and give me to the next person. So it's not as dodgy as it sounds. But actually, that's a pretty big deal for a 13-year-old. When I look at my 10-year-old, she's a baby. So I used to really, really love it there. And then when I actually finally got to live there, it was just such a letdown. And primarily because of the dodgepots, you know. But I remember getting lost on my way to university and you ask a policeman, right? They would send me round just so they could watch me walk by again.
Oh, God.
Weirdos.
Yeah, because you were telling me those sort of horror stories. When I got on the metro, I was like,
you're looking out for the perverts.
Yeah, the dodgepots, right?
But so you found
them. So I sit down, and this guy's just shouting to himself. He's just going, in French, he's just shouting. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God, I just got here, and I've already met a dodgepot.
Yeah.
But I didn't know on the tube there, you can go on your phone, you get a signal. So you're just on the hands-free.
Oh, okay. Well, I was going to say, that was kind of my experience for 6 months, but there was no excuse of a telephone. It was just kind of tense and... tense, and you had to be on your wits. And I made mistakes in the first few weeks that I felt stupid about, you know, like stopping for people who were collecting for quote unquote charity and then finding them going through your wallet and saying, oh no, you can give me that because that's a bit more money, and being a soft kid basically. And then by the end, I was a horrible, hard person who would never stop for anyone because I was just so used to being exploited whenever I showed a little bit of, you know, a bit of kindness towards someone. But I think I need to go back just so I can get over that. But I've got a nasty feeling it might be reinforced if I do go back.
Yeah, baby.
God bless you, Ollie. Well, at least you tried. So where's your next mini break? Beirut.
We want to go back to Japan in August. So hopefully
that sounds great.
Enough money.
Is it expensive?
It was awesome last time.
Is it expensive?
Really, really, really expensive. It's like, so it's a question if we've got enough money or not. Because we want to go for like 3 weeks or something like that.
If you're going to go, you've got to make it worth it, haven't you?
Yeah, because it might be the last time ever. Because it's like such a journey as well. It's like 12 hours on the plane. Mm-hmm. And I'm frightened of planes. Like last time I went, I was just scared the whole time in terror.
I did that on one of those fold-down seats because my sister was crew.
Okay. Yeah. I remember you saying,
on the upside, it cost me £80.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Well worth it. But we did stay in the Japanese version of Heathrow for the entire time. So, but I almost saw Japan.
Yeah. You should definitely go on an adventure there for sure, because it is the place to go for an adventure.
Yeah, it was the closest I've ever been to feeling like a complete alien. You know, I can't read anything. I went in the supermarket, couldn't work out what I was picking up. You know, it wasn't even as if I could go and buy a sandwich. I didn't know how to do it. It was, yeah. But there was a certain amount of, you know, sometimes it's quite thrilling to be that lost.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be weird because when we go back, we should have a bit of Japanese under our belt.
Oh, yeah. You've been learning, haven't you?
Yeah. I'm not as good as my wife is, but I'm trying.
Do you practice between each other?
I need to practice harder and work harder at it for sure, because I kind of just go, okay, I'll just pick it up in the lesson. But yeah, I need to do some homework for sure.
Give me some of your best phrases.
Let me
try and work them out.
I just, Hajime Mashite, Oli Des, Dozo Yoroshiku.
Is that something like, my name is Oli?
It's like, nice to meet you, my name's Oli, how do you do?
Oh, that's nice.
Oh, I'm so terrible at remembering. Like, chotto matte kudasai.
Kudasai means please, doesn't it?
No, it's like give me a little moment. Give me.
All right.
Give me a little time. I think now I'm getting confused.
What's thank you? Arigato.
Arigato gozaimasu.
Yeah.
Or there's gozaimashita, which means like we're done. Oh. Thank you. We're done.
Gozaimashita. The end. Full stop.
Yeah, there's a lot of gozaimasu. There's like different endings to each word, which means like past, present, future. There's like kori wa, sorry wa, ori wa. So it's like something I've got, something you've got, and something that's over there.
You're making this up now. You could be saying anything. I'm just nodding and smiling.
Yeah, but I need to get it in my head. Because I can, like, when it's written down, I'm like, yeah, I can translate that.
Yeah.
But when somebody's talking, I find it a bit difficult. And, like, remembering things, I find really...
Have you got, like, an app on your phone or something? I mean, I'm assuming you've got a new phone.
I've got, I've got a new SIM and they sent me a new phone. I had to pay, like, 50 quid.
Oh, God.
Because
that's how I found it easier to learn languages by parrot fashion rather than by reading things in classes.
Yeah, because I need to learn the text. So I've got a hiragana app and I have to remember the sign, which is like all like syllables for words and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, good luck. How long have you got to get this down? Japanese, I mean.
Well, I think we're going to just keep going. But I do it every week. And I think it's up until August we're going to do it for sure. And then when we come back, I think we're going to carry on. Yeah. Cause I wouldn't mind. Yeah,
it's a cool language to know. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, well, you should do it. Everyone should do it.
Yeah, but you kind of have to have a reason to do it, I think. I was crap at languages at school until I had a reason to do it, right?
Yeah.
My Spanish, I was about to fail my GCSEs. My dad said, go and do the exchange. And if you come back from the exchange and you still can't do it, then at least you've tried. And that's when it took flight because I'm a copier, clearly. I ended up doing it for my degree. Because I learnt it like a baby, you know, I went over there completely isolated. It was sink or swim and I managed it.
I think you got to pick a culture that you love or you like got some sort of interest in.
Yeah, definitely.
Sure.
Make it relevant because I think that otherwise to kids, learning languages is like learning a code that you're never going to use.
Yeah, in French, I was just so not into French and I feel really bad. I feel like looking back I should have like got into something cool about France and just found that way instead of like using that lesson to doff.
You know what it was with me, Ollie? I would like to say I was into the drama and films, but actually the French boys were the only ones that fancied me, so I was like, okay, I found a niche in the market. All right, Ollie, well it's nice to speak to you. I'm sorry I kept you waiting so long, but it was worth it, I think.
Yeah, thank you.
Good night. 0344-499-1000.
The Late Night Alternative with Catherine Boyle. Speech Radio with a difference. Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.